Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. If you have your Bible there, turn it to the fourth chapter of Nehemiah. And we've been talking about spiritual warfare. If you've been with me the last few weeks, you know that we have been talking about spiritual warfare and how to protect yourself from the enemy, the attacks of the enemy. And this week, I'm going to be speaking about the tactics of the enemy, things that you can look for to protect yourself when the devil comes into your life, when the devil comes to oppress you, harass you, and torment you, things that you can look for and be on the guard against so that you can protect yourself and your family from the fiery darts of the evil one. Well, first, before we get to Nehemiah, I'm going to read a scripture in 2 Timothy 3, and this, Paul is telling Timothy, this is a description of what the end days will look like. This is a description of the spiritual battle as we come into the end days. And Paul says in verse 1 in 2 Timothy 3, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these." And so Paul says it's going to be treacherous out there, it's going to be wicked. People will be giving in to the pleasure, to their love of pleasure and their desire for self-gratification, their desire to serve themselves, their selfish needs, their selfish desires. And we've seen bits and pieces of this already in the flash mobs that take over in certain cities, and people just in their arrogant and irreconcilable way serve themselves and don't take into consideration the needs of others. And so Paul told Timothy, this is going to be the hallmark of the days ahead. This is going to be what it looks like. It's going to be treacherous, and it's going to be full of deceit and full of danger and perilous times out there. And so Paul says, beware and be ready and be on your guard, because the devil is going to do everything he can to try to take you away from the kingdom of God. And so as we think about that, as we think about wanting to move forward in the kingdom, as we think about our desire to serve the Lord and to walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ and with our brothers and sisters in the kingdom and in the body of Christ, we want to know how the devil is going to come against us. We want to know the tactics that the devil is going to use to tear us away from the kingdom of God. And so we are going to start here in Nehemiah 4. And Nehemiah, if you've not read the book, it's a book about spiritual warfare. It's a book about battling the enemy. Nehemiah came back from Babylon, and he was attempting to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. God had put it in his heart to rebuild the walls. God had put it in his heart to rebuild the kingdom. And that is the call that God has on our lives here today, brothers and sisters. And so this book speaks to us in many ways about rebuilding the walls. And many of us have taken on kingdom pursuits. Many of us have taken on kingdom challenges where the walls are down, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your community, your workplace, or the church that you're in, or wherever God has planted you. He will give you a mission to rebuild the walls. He will give you a mission and a charge to get in there, and where the walls are down, where the walls have been breached by the enemy, he will give you a mission and a charge to get in there and to rebuild the walls and to restore the kingdom of God in the enemy's territory. Well, you can rest assured, brothers and sisters, when you're trying to build in the enemy's territory, that he's not going to like it. He is going to come against you with every kind of tactic, with every kind of deceit and lie and confusion. And so he is going to come against you, and he's going to try to dissuade you away from what you know to be right. He's going to try to trick you and get you to fall off of the job that God has called you to do, and he is going to do everything he can to keep you from succeeding in the plan that God has laid out for you. So we're going to look at some of the ways that the enemy will come against you. In verse 1 in Nehemiah 4, it says, "Now it came about when Sanballat," and Sanballat was the governor of the one of the ruling officials of the area of Jerusalem. He said, "When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry, and he mocked the Jews." Well, Galatians 6:7 says, "God shall not be mocked." And so when you mock God's plan, when you mock God's kingdom, when you mock God's kingdom warriors, brothers and sisters, you're going to face a penalty. You're going to face a punishment for that. And so that's one of the ways that the devil comes against us. He is always attempting to mock God's people. He's always attempting to mock the plans of the people of God. And in verse 2, it says here, "And Sanballat spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria, and he said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish it in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones?'" And verse 3, "Then when Tobiah the Ammonite heard him, he said, 'Even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down.'" And so that is the first lesson to take from this chapter in Nehemiah, is that you are going to be mocked if you attempt to build the walls of the kingdom. You're going to be mocked by your friends. You're going to be mocked even sometimes by your family, maybe even by your wife, maybe by your children. You are going to be mocked even by Christians at times. Some of the brothers and sisters that you've trusted to stand with you and have been with you, if you step out too far in the kingdom, if you step out and really catch on fire for the kingdom of God, you're going to be mocked by them because they want to see you held back. Those demons that are oppressing them are wanting you to hold back and to slow the horses down. And so if you are moving in the kingdom and you are doing God's will and you are pressing forward, get ready, because there are going to be mockers come into your life and they're going to make fun of you. And so you have to keep your eyes on the prize. You have to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. We talked about last week, Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 9, 24, that there's only one that gets the prize. Run as if you are the one that is to get that prize. And we don't run for a perishable wreath or some kind of a perishable prize. We run for the prize of the goal of our blessings that come from us in the afterlife, the blessings that are given to us in the afterlife. That's the prize that we run for, and to see the kingdom of God being built here on this earth. And so as you consider the race that you're in, as you consider that prize, strive with all your might. Now, that I'm not saying to disregard the good counsel of people around you. That's not what this is about. I'm not saying to disregard when people come to you with godly wisdom to initiate strategies, to initiate ways to move forward in the kingdom. Don't disregard that. But you will be mocked by people who have the intention of slowing down the kingdom of God. You will be mocked by people who have the intention of making you look like a fool. And so be prepared for that, that you will be mocked, that God's children will always be mocked by those who don't have any stake and those who don't want to see the kingdom of God move forward. Well, in verse 8 then, here another tactic of the enemy is the enemy comes to bring confusion. And it says here in verse 7, let's start there. "Now it came about when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on, that and that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry, and all of them conspired to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance against it." And verse 9, "But we prayed to our God, and because of them we set up a guard against them day and night." And another King James Version says in verse 8, "And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. And so that's the second tactic of the enemy, is that he comes to create confusion. He will try to sow confusion amongst the brethren. He'll try to sow confusion in the church. He'll try to sow confusion in your family, between you and your wife, or between you and your spouse. And so when you're doing the work of God, when you're moving forward in the kingdom, understand this, that the devil is going to sow confusion, and he'll try to get the brethren to bicker with each other. He'll try to get the brethren to attack each other and to make accusations against each other, and in so doing, then the work gets left undone. And when he brings confusion in the body, then the body generally falls back into bickering over doctrinal issues. They generally fall back into bickering over ways that they should move forward, and so they spend more time talking than they do acting. They spend more time bickering over issues and over personalities than they do moving forward to do the job God calls them to do. And so as you think about whatever God calls you to do in the kingdom, as you look at that wall that God has prepared for you, just understand, if you pray about it and if you receive your charge from God, and if the Holy Spirit speaks to you and said, this is your job, this is your charge, this is your calling, then don't let others, even those in the body, don't let that dissuade you. Don't let them create confusion in your mind and doubt in your mind. And after a while, if that happens, you start to say, well, is this really what God called me to do? Is this really what God wants me to do? And so you start to slow down, you start to back up, and you start to try to accommodate the accusing words and the confusion that people have sown in your life. And so be very careful who you confide in. Be very careful who you counsel with. Make sure you're counseling with people that hear from the Spirit of God. Maybe have regular prayer partners that you can really trust and confide in them, and make sure that you don't confide in people that will go scatter confusion and bring confusion back to you. And so as you seek the Lord, let the Spirit of the Lord lead you to those people that it would be good for you to confide in. I'm going to again refer to a scripture in Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:1. Paul says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter time some will depart from the faith, give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And so Paul says that in the end times there are many that are going to come with deceiving spirits, and they're being motivated by deceiving spirits. They're being motivated by doctrines of demons, and they speak lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And so I would just warn you, be careful who you confide in. Be careful who you take counsel in. Don't let people get into your inner circle and into your inner life with doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits, and to sow confusion and try to bring doubt and confusion into your mind, and that will dissuade you and persuade you away from the calling that God has for you. Well, a third thing that the devil will try to do will try to get you onto his territory. In Nehemiah 6, verse 2, it says, then Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me harm. And so as you read on in that passage of Scripture, you see that five different times Sanballat sent letters to Nehemiah, sent notes to Nehemiah through messengers, come and meet me in the plain of Ono. We want to talk. Come and meet me there. And so this is a favorite tactic of the enemy. He will try to get you on his territory, and he will try to get you boxed in with others that agree with the enemy, and so they'll try to get numbers over you, or get you in a place of weakness, get you in a place where you're not able to defend yourself. And so, brethren, be very careful where you go. Be careful where your steps lead you, where your footsteps go. If you've had battles with drugs and alcohol, there are some places you just do not need to go. You just do not need to go over to that person's house. You don't need to go into that bar. You don't need to hang out with certain people that can bring the accusations and bring weakness into your life. There's some people you just need to stay away from. There's some places you need to stay away from. Don't go back onto the enemy's territory when God has called you out into his territory and God has called you to rebuild the walls in his kingdom. Don't go back on the enemy's territory and try to pacify or make reconciliation with the enemy. People will say and tell you, well, Jesus hung out with sinners. You'll hear that many times from people who are trying to do the enemy's work. They'll say, well, Jesus hung out with sinners. Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, Jesus didn't just hang out with sinners. He had a mission whenever he was with a sinner, whether it was one or in a group, and oftentimes he had the disciples with him, which you need to consider too. He many times had the disciples with him. He wasn't just wading into places where there was lots of sin and debauchery. He didn't just wade into those places on his own and leave things to chance. Many times he had the disciples with him. And he didn't just hang out with sinners. Whenever he was with a sinner, whether it was one or several, he had a mission in mind. He was there to accomplish a purpose. He was there to accomplish the rebuilding of the walls, the building of the walls for the kingdom of God. And he ministered to those people. He spoke, the kingdom is at hand, to those people. And he spoke into their hearts. He spoke into their lives. And then he left. He didn't just hang out. He wasn't there to kill time. He wasn't there for entertainment or his own selfish pleasure. And so as you think about that, don't go back onto the enemy's territory to just hang out and be in a place of vulnerability where the enemy can take advantage of you. Well, another tactic the enemy uses is to try to bring fear into your life and to bring fear to the point where you'll give up and quit. And Nehemiah 6:9, it says, all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged with the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. And so many times the enemy will bring fright. That is the main tactic. One of the main tactics of the enemy is to try to bring fright and fear into your life that you won't go forward. Maybe God is calling you to go minister somewhere, maybe in the prison or minister out in the public somewhere. Step out in a public platform and speak somewhere. And the enemy will say, no, you can't do it. You are too weak, you're too scared, you're too ineffective, you can't do what God is calling you to do. Maybe God is calling you to go on a mission trip somewhere. God is calling you to write out a big check for the kingdom. And you say, well, I can't do it. There's just too many reasons why it isn't going to work. Well, this is just words from the enemy. This is just words from the devil. He will try to bring fear into your life, and he will discourage you, and he will get you looking at his plan instead of God's plan. He will get you looking at the circumstances in your life instead of the big God that we serve. And that is a favorite tactic of the enemy, is to bring fear. Many, many people do not follow through with the call that God has on their life because they're afraid and they get discouraged, and eventually they give up and they quit. Well, Jesus is the answer for all of these tactics of the enemy. Jesus is the answer for the protection. He is the shield about us. Psalm 3:3 says, Thine, O Lord, you are the shield about us and the lifter of our head. And so Jesus is the answer when you're coming under attack of the enemy, when you're getting discouraged, when you're getting afraid, when you're getting confused, when you're full of doubt and the enemy comes against you and sows seeds of doubt and discouragement. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you need more Jesus. You need more prayer. You need more fellowship. You need more worship. All of these things are Jesus. And as you seek Jesus, as you seek more time with him in prayer, as you seek more time with him in study of his word, and as you seek more time just worshiping him and in fellowship with him, he will strengthen you for the battle. He will strengthen you, and he will show you tactics where you can defeat the enemy in your life. He will show you tactics where he will allow you to rise above the fiery darts of the evil one. He will show you tactics where you can fend off those attacks that come against your shield of faith. And as you do this, as you step forward in the ways that God has called you to, as you step forward in those ways that God wants you to rebuild the walls and build the kingdom, then God will give you strength. He'll add unto you strength. He is your strength. He is your deliverer. He is your conqueror. And as you spend more time with Jesus, you will then conquer the enemy's plans in your life, and you will defeat the enemy's plans as he tries to bring discouragement and fear into your life. Well, we're going to look at some more tactics of the enemy next week. I pray that you would send in your prayer requests to me this week, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654, or email gatheroutcast.com. Send your prayer requests in, and I would be happy to pray with you. Let's see some victory in your life. Let's see the devil defeated in your life, and let's have some testimonies that we can read over this radio broadcast, and we can bring glory to God, and we can shout victory here in the face of the devil as he tries to defeat you in your life. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. May you have a great week. Tune in again next week.